So I ran up the stairs. When I got to my office, I said, "Madam, I'm really, really tired. I don't know, I've been getting so tired since yesterday. That I just, you know, it was a Wednesday, because on Tuesday also, I ran up the stairs here." My wife remembered that day. I actually stopped halfway. And those who are coming behind me to please go ahead. That I'm just tired. I was just coming to her in the office. It's our departmental secretary. That I don't know why I've been getting so tired though. So she said, "Have you checked malaria?" So I said, "Malaria is for children." As I just told her. He said, "Check, it could be malaria." Now listen to this though. You know, my own problem, that's what she said. She said, "My problem is malaria, typhoid, and hepatitis." I said, "What?" I said, "Wait." He said, "Yes." And she was saying it with pride. "Yes, so my problem is malaria, typhoid, and hepatitis. Only you." I told her simply, "Listen, I don't have malaria. Don't worry about it. I know they get malaria, you know, I said it's for children." But later on, just by the way, she now asked me, "Have you eaten?" That's when I realized that the last 2 days, I wasn't eating much. That day, it was already late in the day. But because I was quite busy, you know, I wouldn't eat and I would forget. That's when I said, "Okay, it's food." That's like, so I ate a small snack and then I felt better shortly after. But why I'm telling the story is that she told me that my problem is malaria, typhoid, and hepatitis. Only one person. If you die suddenly tomorrow, now they say witches killed you. Witches did not kill you. You killed yourself with your own mouth. And you know those demons, when they heard that, they said, "Hey, thank God, we have somewhere to go. We have a friend expecting us." So the following week, one demon will just go beside her ears. Just blow small. She'll be like this. "I think I'm about to have malaria." The demon of malaria will jump inside. Then, "Maybe it's not malaria or typhoid fever," will jump inside. Say, "Hey, you remain just one. My hepatitis." "Ah, say, madam, I come. I'm busy killing somebody else." Hey. Listen, the word of God is alive. The young woman I was mentioning, the hypothetical young woman I was talking about earlier. When you find that like that, the Bible says, fight the good fight of what? Faith. Go and take scriptures that fight and kill cancer in the breast. Instead of going to for mammography every day, which for your information, let me not tell you things. Doctors are half and half. Half of them don't believe it does anything for you. Most of those who interpret it can't even see anything. They just see shadows and just say, "Okay, this looks like it's possibly, peradventure might be a very early form of possible cancer." And the surgery in your life has begun. Let me scare you a bit with studies before you start putting all your life thinking doctors can save you. They can't save you. Mammography became established in the UK, Western Europe, and North America decades ago. After doing studies for a very long time, they came to the conclusion that it has not helped anybody. Statistics, all right? They are quite interesting to interpret. Statistics, very interesting to interpret. They found that, listen to this, let me just use it to scare you a bit so that you will read the Bible more. You know what I'm going to do? To remove your faith in human beings. So that when you don't have anywhere else to go, at least you will now carry that Bible and read it. And you will see better results in your life. They found out that after many years of pushing mammography, they now checked statistics. And they saw that the death rate from cancer of the breast has refused to go down. That's one place where doctors used to catch whether something is effective or not. It's okay. We used to have about 7,000 women die in a year in this our population from cancer of the breast. Let's now see how many are dying now. They found that after many years of routine mammography, they still had about the same number dying every year. They say, "What is the problem?" But see, if you go to use another kind of statistics, they will find out that the incidence of cancer has been increasing in the society. Listen, use another kind of statistics. They'll say for the incidence of cancer that has grown up, gone up, the proportion, now listen to this, this is interesting. They will say that before mammography, 10% of cancer patients, no, they'll tell you that 60% of cancer patients were dying within, let's say, 10 years. They'll say after mammography began,
Only 10% is not dying within 10 years. Do you get my point? So you think it's good, right? Good. What you don't realize, which statistics, they cook it up. Now, they say, look at this. You're not interpreting it well. You can't. Statistics, they interpret it any way, depending on what they want to sell. They now found that actually what happened was that the reason why 60%, only 10% are dying within 10 years is that the huge proportion of those people that are called cancer patients now were those that they found the cancer in mammography, which means this was a cancer that was never going to show up as cancer and they were going to live their lives normally. But because they were poking around strange places, they found strange things. And because those things were never dangerous, the people survived. So some now say, let's look at statistics differently. Let's not check how many patients are there. Let us just check how many people have been dying per year in our population, let's say per million people. They found that the thing has been flat for 30, 40 years with all the mammography. They now began to research again. And so now the medical world is divided into two. Should I have a mammography or I shouldn't have? One man, my wife knows I have the book at home, titled, Should I be tested for cancer? The man said no. He's a doctor in America. He said if the breast cancer shows up and you find it, go to hospital. Don't look for it before that. He said because evidence is that you are likely to suffer more if you try. Some people say, no, you are going to kill many women. He said, no, you will make money. That's what why you are shouting. Because people who make those things, they want the business to continue. Go ahead and be testing whether you have prostate cancer. When nothing is doing you, you wake up in the morning, you pee normally to the glory of God and edification of humanity. Then, you understand my point? You go about normally. Then you now say, oh, I'm the age of 50. Come and check whether my PSA is elevated. Then they go and do ultrasound-guided check, probe your prostate. 3 years ago, one big American body checked all the data and finally recommended to the government that it's a waste of money and a waste of time. And the man who invented the test said it's nothing better than a toss of a coin. After they started in the 70s. You know, he said, Pastor Bank, what are you doing? I want to remove your faith from human beings. Let me tell you one thing. You've heard of global warming, climate change. It's all a lie to manipulate what's going on in the world. Fuel was getting expensive. Arabs are controlling the fuel. He said, well, what do we do? Let's say there's global warming. I was into, I've said this in here before. And I listened to Adunma the other day. I said, oh, this is what I've been saying. Other people said, Adunma said, when I was a boy, at least older than me, you understand, by far. So in the early 70s, when I was running around naked, he was already a teenager. You understand what I'm saying? He said they were warning them, global cooling, the earth is going to freeze over. Woe to him that puts his trust in man. Ninety percent of the things you watch on TV, when it comes to opinions, number one, they say pictures don't lie. Somebody say, but captions do. You can see me holding my wife like this. It's a picture. Some will say that was Pastor Banky about to give her a headbutt. Some will say that was Pastor Banky about to give her a kiss. That was Pastor Banky, having not seen her in a long time, about to give her a bear hug. All you know is that my two hands were on her shoulders. I need to say, I not do my eye like this. They say, that is, they will write it to tell you anything. One day I was listening to Christy Lou Stout. That's a CNN reporter who anchors the program Eye on China. She said, she didn't know when she spilled the beans. You know, she didn't know when she said it. He said, at CNN, we focus on an issue so as to drive public debate. I said, that's what they do. They don't tell the truth. They manipulate your opinion. They toss it in your face every day that there's nothing wrong with homosexuality. And they know that you can never be persuaded. You've gone to church. You know their target? Your children. Because in 20 years' time, your children will be the policymakers. They are trying to tell your children, nothing wrong with homosexuality, nothing wrong with this, nothing wrong with that. They know you will never change your mind, you. But don't worry, they don't care about you. It's the children they are going after. So in the CNN, we keep on blowing up every good act that a homosexual man does. They will blow it up. The guy who read the poem during Obama's second inauguration was a homosexual man. Then they change the words to manipulate your opinion. I was just my wife the other day. You know, we were talking about something in the house. They change the words to manipulate your opinion. Instead of saying homosexual, they say gay. And once the word changes, the opinion begins to change. The one we're talking about was women dressing. When we're young, they say color riot. Now they call it pinging. The same thing, though. When we're children, it was what? Color riot. So it was riot. Say, why are you wearing color riot? But now they say, no, it's not color riot. It's what? Pinging. They've instantly making it what? Acceptable. What you watch on TV is not honest. I'm manipulating your opinion. And listen to me. All those things are engineered to put doubt in your heart. The young girl who everybody in your house, maybe your mother, your auntie, and your grandmother has cancer of the breast, there's a treatment for it in God. It's not mammography. You know, Angelina Jolie went and removed both of her breasts. That is the most foolish thing for a human being to do if you know genetics very well. What she has not yet done is to remove both of her ovaries. You know, this is my job. I can read in between the lines. What she does not know, some of them do not know. We found out later on, cancers of the ovary are just as common as cancer of the breast in those that have that thing that Angelina Jolie says she has. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, just as common. We now found out later that the cancers of the ovary are actually not from the ovaries. That was found out just about 5-10 years ago. They're actually from the fallopian tubes. So that even if you remove the ovaries, the tubes are still waiting, say, we go kill somebody one day. Oh, Father God. I'm happy I've confused your soul. I'm very happy. Because after now, all you are going to do is believe God. You will lay hands on your ovaries and speak to them. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Receive health. Instead of mammography, do bucography, bibliography. You know what I'm saying? You carry the word of God and infuse it into your system even when you don't have any troubles. You don't wait till you are old to start confessing the truth concerning your brain. Now that you are young, you know, I like the testimony of Kenneth Hagin very well in that area. In that area, I love his testimony. I plan to apply it to, in fact, not I plan, I am applying it to every aspect of my body. Kenneth Hagin said one day he was listening, he was reading a book, and this was a man that had a brilliant brain. You know, he said there was a time he could quote 3/4 of the New Testament off head. 3/4. Listen to his messages. This is how he tells stories. He'll tell you, in 1935, April 16, 1935, oh, so that you know it was on a Wednesday, and everybody will laugh. He'll tell you, at 2:45 p.m., I know because I looked at my watch then, and the story is telling you 60 years ago. God blessed him with a very good memory. He said one day he was reading a book, Reader's Digest. And they were talking about why you lose your memory as you grow older. He said he began to believe it. And he began to get ready to start losing his memory as he gets older. And then one day he was in the Bible. And then there's a story. Abraham's bosom. Lazarus. The poor man at the rich man's gate. He died. And he was carried to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died. And when he was in torment, he looked up at Abraham and said, Father Abraham, you understand my point? Please do this. You know the story. I don't want to go into it. So Abraham said to him, son, remember. He said, when son remember, he said, wait. These people are dead. And they are remembering. Kenegan said, it means therefore, you do not remember with your brain. You remember with something else. Memory lies in your soul, in your spirit. It doesn't lie in your brain. He said, he tossed the thing aside and said, I will never forget. He said, that is, until it was 80-something. That's why I was telling stories. He'll be giving you stories of things that happened 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years ago. And be giving you dates, the streets. He will give description. People will start laughing. And the man was over 80 years of age. Why? Because one day he realized that, listen, memory doesn't lie in my brain. It lies in my soul. Therefore, I will not forget. I'm not waiting to be old before I start confessing such things. Now I start confessing them over my eyes, over my brain,
You understand my point? And over this, my prostate. One that they said, I'm telling you, I'm not planning to check anything. Can't be driving me up and down. What I'm planning to do is take the scriptures. If anything wants to ail me, I start reading Bible for it every day. I hope you know things have ears. Jesus discussed with the tree. The tree said, let me just die in peace. I'm telling you, look. He looked at the tree and said, nobody will eat fruit from you again. No, what happened to the tree? The tree said, well, guys, all my cells, all my roots, they said, yeah, the master has spoken. And the Lord said, hear ye him. And he says, nobody will eat fruit from us again. And all the cells cooperated and they died. Listen to me. Dead Lazarus heard the word of God. And he woke up to come and obey the word. He said, this word of this master must not go unfulfilled. If he says comfort, let me go and comfort first. If I want to die, I choose another date. That's what he said. I will go and comfort first. That same word is available to you and to me. And I'm saying that your body also listens. Your body also listens. It's whether you will tell it in faith and not use unbelief. No, we started by talking about fighting unbelief. Unbelief are all the stories that the doctors told you to cripple the ability of the word of God to work in your life. Tell you nobody lives long in your family and you believe it. Even though you see the spirit of life is working, trying to make you alive, yet unbelief is there, working hard, trying to kill you. And we are beginning to teach today the fight against unbelief. One of the things you do to fight unbelief is, he said, guard your heart with all diligence. Guard your heart with all diligence. Guard your heart. You don't need all the news of what's going on in the world. If the news will trouble you, don't hear it. He said, if I don't hear it, I won't know how to prepare for it. Listen, there's a book I bought recently. Unfortunately, it was not delivered. It's titled The Quantum Enigma. Physics discovers consciousness. I wanted to read this, a reason. Listen, you don't know something may be the reason why it will not exist. Oh, I don't know what I heard I say. That's philosophy. Look, like they say, philosophy 101. They argue on it all the time. Listen. Let us assume. Now, I want to say something to you now. It will shock some people, but this is the truth. Assume you are climbing the staircase. And because you got a call or you are reading a text message, you stop looking at the staircase and you are reading your phone. You do not realize that one particular step is missing. This is what will happen to you. Because you did not see it, you will step on it, step on the air, and step on the next one and continue going and you will never testify. You did not know it happened. What I've said is not a joke. I'm not trying to sound nice. This is exactly what God has been doing for you. You don't know. God has been doing it for you. You don't know. You have driven over bridges that have collapsed before. You do not know. You don't know. But you know, if you saw that step, if you put your leg there, you fall. See, what are you talking about? That was what happened to Peter. If somebody had blinded that guy and deadened his ears, he would have walked on water neatly until he got into where Jesus Christ was. But once he was able to consider what was going on, that's the issue. Unbelief rose up and destroyed the power that was keeping him afloat. That is why it is not every news you listen to. If you plan to be flying all the time, filter the news of plane crashes from your ears. It doesn't mean you will die in it. You won't die in it. You are not going to die in a plane crash. The fact that, listen, you will not die in a plane crash in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So once you can, if you can set your browser, your news to remove every news on plane crash, it's better for you. Anywhere you go, listen, you will enter a rickety old plane being flown by an idiot. It will still land safely. Why? Because the unbelief to crash it will not be present with you. These are Christian principles we are discussing. It's not every nonsense you feed your ears with. Because when you feed your ears with nonsense, it fills your system with unbelief. And that unbelief is a force
It is not like when faith is there, there won't be unbelief. You'll be faith there. Unbelief stands up beside you, then you'll start fighting your life. And it's who wins brings forth results into your soul system. He said, guard your heart with all diligence. When you see women talking about how terrible men are, don't go near there. As I know, you see, there's this book that time designed to scare you into marriage. You can't marry a good man. You are suspicious of everybody. And Chike one day met Angelina somewhere, and she did not know that Chike has 7 wives in America and 3 in Yugoslavia. 75 questions to ask before you do. Chike, did you marry in Yugoslavia or did you marry in South America? You finish reading the book, your whole life is full of suspicion. There are some places you couldn't go for prayer. There are places you should not go for prayer. Anywhere where they are fighting your enemies, all the witches that said you will not prosper, the altar raised up against you, stop going there. They are not helping you. They are building up unbelief in your system. They're not helping you. All they are doing is increasing the amount of unbelief you have. My friend was telling me a story. He lives in Houston. Once my wife and I visited them, he said that his sister-in-law came to deliver. And that his sister, another of his sister-in-laws, that is the senior one, carried the young girl to the pastor's house. And the pastor began to bind and extract every poison, everything that they have given her to eat, every uncle that said she would not deliver safely. He said, Banky, see, this is my problem. Before this girl went for the prayer meeting, she was not suspicious of anybody. After this prayer meeting now, every uncle is a suspect. Every auntie is a suspect. Because a joker who calls himself a man of God does not know what he's saying. One day my wife was going to deliver, I think it was Olubenga. She was with her mother in Benin. I went to visit and then I was now coming back. So she was going to, likely she would deliver before I come again. So I said, let me pray for you. The prayer was like 10 seconds. I said, where many people go and they don't return, you will go there and you will return safely in Jesus' name. Amen. She, her head was still bowed. Until I have finished my prayer. Any auntie that wants to cook anything is her problem. He said, what if you eat it? I only grow fatter and more handsome by it. Your poison cannot kill me. Nothing shall by any means hurt me. And you're creating suspicion. People are going to prayer house where they'll be attacking your enemies. That's why you can't sleep. There's one lie they tell, this is a spirit husband. Don't believe a word of it, though. Those things don't exist. When I was young, it was mommy water. All the mama waters have been cast away now. So they say, what else will you use to make money? Oh, the spirit husband. I'm telling you the truth. All the young boys now say they have spirit husband, a spirit wife. But those of us who are men, who are married, we can't have spirit wife. Chooks, is it possible? We have the real thing there. Okay, so spirit husband, spirit wife, I'm rubbish. Ain't getting that spirit, nothing, nonsense. When you are, you know, the body has a physiology way of behaving. You know, when you don't have a license to do these things, when you start sleeping, you start dreaming. Now say, it's not, listen, take me from me, I'm a doctor. Now I told you these things. There's nothing spirit about it. It's called fleshly desires. You know, women have menstruations, you know that? Men also have it. We just don't know. 3 days every month, you will ejaculate in your bed. Don't pretend you do it. Girls, don't mind them, they are doing like they are holy. Listen. Am I lying? What cures some of us is marriage. Once you marry, finish, waiting. Which kind? Oh my God. It is something else. It's true. It is how the body empties. The thing gathers. It's the truth now. You now start praying. You say, Pastor, usually at the last Saturday, it's only the last Saturday of the month, she will not come. Look, she did not come. It's testosterone that came. Look, 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 this is physiology. Oh, ignorance is a bad thing, you know. Some people go to church and say, thank God we have been delivered from staphylococcus. You know, you just bury your head. Ignorance is a horrible thing. Ignorance. Now say, what happened here? You need deliverance from spirit wife. If you come and meet me and say, you have spirit wife, I say, don't worry. Listen, let's cast out the spirit wife. Just go and marry your real wife. After that, the spirit wife will go to the next guy's house. You see goodness as all of these things. You want to make money before you marry. That's why spirit wise won't leave you alone. It will afflict your system morning, afternoon, and night. Just believe me, the little money you have is good enough. Just marry a sensible woman and start your life small, small. Believe me, after that first night, no spirit wives again in your life. The Lord is good. You know, I won't lie to you. I like to tell you the truth. Oh, God. You know, when people drug with all the money, they have to look for something to hold people in bondage. There is nothing like spirit husband for you. You don't have, if anyone is in Christ, all spirit spouses have passed away. You are free in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Don't let anybody make merchandise of your soul. Like I was saying, look, take a good hold of your faith. Don't go to where they scare you with prayer. They'll be using unbelieving prayer. Say, all the witches that are gathered on the road when you want to travel, stay there. Say, Pastor Banky, all the spirits that are evil spirits on the road when you want to travel, we ever command them to depart. I say, where should they go? Are you stupid? Didn't you read the Bible? He prepares the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Who will watch me when God is blessing me if you can't cast all of them away? Leave them alone. It's true. You know, all those prayers are prayers of fear. They are prayers of fear. Because you're afraid of them. So you want to drive them away first. You know, in my house, when I see ants, I tell my wife, run. I tell the ants, run, my wife is coming. But because ants don't bother me. So what do I do? Even if they are there, I don't bother. But you don't mosquitoes. If I'm sleeping and you don't wow, I will get up and kill you. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Why? What's the difference? I see the mosquitoes as a threat. I don't see the ants as a threat. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So the mosquitoes, they disturb my sleep. They inconvenience me. I don't believe they can give me malaria. They can't. They give malaria to those who like malaria. You understand? But my own, they disturb my sleep. So I see them as a threat, so I will kill them. But the ants, I just see them as a little bit of inconvenience. So in fact, they're these big ants, the ones that carry sugar. I never kill those ones. When they come, I blow them away. They don't bother me. There are war geckos in my house. You know that? Do you kill war geckos? You just ignore them. But if it was a snake, hey, holy God fire! Why? You see the snake as a threat. But the war geckos, you don't believe they're a threat. Those who fight witches and ogbanje spirits, they are afraid of them. They are. Why I never, for 1 second, mention them in my prayer is because I am not afraid of them. I'm not. It doesn't concern me. The ungodly spirit is there. And maybe they went to buy something. When they finish, they will go. It doesn't raise my shoulder. Do you understand? I have never, under God, I tell you, I have never one day prayed against witches in my life. Never. Not one day. That's every witch that wants to afflict me, in the name of Jesus, you can't. My only prayer is that if witch wants to afflict me, try first. That's the only thing I can tell you as a witch. See, try first. Try now. Or listen to Andrew Mumma. I'll tell you one of his messages I was listening to. Very interesting. He said he was on a plane. He sat beside the man and was discussing with the man. The man looked ugly, you know, had tattoos, those kind of things. So after a while, the man said, do you realize you're talking to a follower of Juju? The guy just said one thing. He said, apparently that name meant Satan. So he told the guy, what is that? He said, yes, I'm a worshiper of the devil. And the man said, do you realize you are talking to a man of God? Greater is he that lives in me than he that lives in you. He told the man like that. The man said, listen, some people do sacrifices to injure people. I don't. All I need, I can kill you with a glance. And the man looked at the man and said, bring it on. You want to kill me with a glance? Start. You know, if it's most of us Christians, you can't kill me in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You will not be able to. Fear. And the woman said, looked at the guy and said, yeah, try. You won't keep pressing. Try now. You didn't fear. Stop going to places where they scare you with witches. They start all the prayers they are praying for is against witches and ogbanje spirits and mami water spirits and spirit husband spirit. Listen, they are not helping you. They are building fear into you. You want to hear prayer? Come and hear me pray. I will teach you how to pray prayers of victory. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That's it. That's it. And my life is hid with Christ in God. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. All curses in my life have been broken. I'm not afraid of tomorrow because my God is with me. Jesus died. The same spirit that raised him from the dead is working in me. He's giving life to my mortal body. I don't have time to be paying attention to any stupid witch. How is it? I'm not afraid of any witch. That's how to pray powerful prayer. Rest your feet. Look, I'm taking so much of your time. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I want us to just quickly declare something based upon where we stopped now. There's something I want us to declare. It's part of our declarations for the year. I want us to just declare divine protection and safety upon ourselves, all right? Let me read a few scriptures, all right? If everybody repeat the scripture after me, say, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. From this time forth and forever. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest upon the land of the righteous. That's Psalm 125. You know, now let's repeat this one again. Say, for I have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High my hiding place. No evil will befall me. No plague will come near my dwelling place. That's from Psalm 91. Now listen to this. He said, do not deliver the soul. Now I'll just read this one out. He said, do not deliver the soul of thy turtle dove to the wild beast. Do not forget the life of thy afflicted forever. He said, consider the covenant, for the dark places of the land are full of the habitations of violence. So he said, concerning me, God will consider the covenant. Say it. And I will be delivered at all times. Declare this loud. Say, I have made the Lord my refuge. I have made the Most High God my dwelling place. My hope and my trust are in Him only. I do not trust in physical things. My trust is not in doctors. I do not trust in the order of men. My safety and those of my family and my brethren is not dependent on what I can see, but it's dependent upon the presence of God. Say, in 2015, I shall not fear. For more are those who are with me than those who are against me. Therefore, I declare that no evil will befall me and no plague will come near my dwelling. Say this, the angels of God are activated to protect me. They are guarding me and protecting my family. I am delivered from all troubles. Now say this again. As I go on the road, I am safe. As I fly in the air, I am kept. If I travel by the waters, I will be kept from all evil. Whether I travel by day or by night, my God is there with me at all times. Darkness cannot hide him. Say it again. Whether I travel by day or by night, my God is with me at all times. Darkness cannot hide him. You know, my mother-in-law told me something the other day. Even me, I was challenged. Now, let me be the preacher. Let me be the Pentecostal firebrand preacher. She was telling me when she was in Enugu here, you know, some years ago. Hey, I was hearing this just a few weeks ago. I was looking at her like, what? That she just bowed her heads in the car and pray. And say, God, keep me in this my journey. And tell the driver, let's go. They will drive through Onitsha at night, get to Agbani midnight. I said, you know, that it's not everything you should hear. I didn't hear that one on time, so unbelief could not be stirred up in my soul. So one time my wife and I are praying for her, we keep on praying in faith. We didn't know she was doing anything foolish. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the faith was strong. She said she did this for a long time. She will finish meetings at night in Asaba. Just look at the time. Kai, it's already 8 o'clock. I have to be in school by tomorrow morning. Tell the driver, come, let's go. Before she enters the car, she will just pray over the car, pray by herself alone, sit inside the car. The driver will drive all the roads that most young men are afraid of. He will sit down there, and the driver will drive, and she will reach Agbani at 11 p.m. When I heard that testimony, even me, I was challenged. I like such stories. I like such testimonies. Are you getting my point? To let you know that God indeed is alive if we are willing to take him by faith. Let me say to you again, even though you travel by night, even though you travel at midnight, wherever you find yourself, God will always be with you at all times.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Darkness will not hide his deliverance from you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Listen, no evil will befall you.
Amen.
And no plague will come near your dwelling.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Declare, let's say, my life is preserved in the name of Jesus. My family is kept in the name of Jesus Christ. Say this, so from all plagues I am kept. No virus will harm me.
Ebola cannot harm me.
No wasting disease can take me down. Because the greater one lives in me. Let me just tell you this before we close, you know, just to make you laugh again. You know, I said, don't be reading media and believe everything they say. You know, when Ebola tried to come into Nigeria, can you remember then? You know, the people of God rose up against it. And then it ran away. All right? Of course, you know the story. One Sawyer man arrived in Nigeria. All right? Another people got infected. About half, a little less than half, 40% died thereabout. And then after a few weeks, the whole Ebola thing in Nigeria was over. And then we waited for another 21 days before WHO declared Nigeria Ebola free. This is the story. That's interesting. After that, I began to watch the analysis on news. You know what they said? And Nigeria was able to handle the Ebola because they have a thriving health sector, they have good infrastructure, everything. I said, I watched that. That was BBC or CNN. All of them were saying that it was because we had a good health structure. They did not remember that our doctors were on strike nationwide. Yes. At that point, the doctors were on strike nationwide. The same health system, they don't abuse us, tire. Abuse our president. Abuse everybody. But because we took hold of Ebola and kicked it out, they said, let's look for an explanation. The explanation is because they have a good health system. They have existing infrastructure. They are not at war. They are a thriving democracy. They are the largest economy in Africa. Suddenly, everything was now being tied together. You say, holy. You don't think so. But if the thing had, you know, had spread everywhere, they said, this is a problem of corruption. This is a problem of incompetence. This is a problem of nepotism. This is a problem of being black. This is a problem of being in Africa. If you're in the equator, you don't die. You know, suddenly, the whole thing. Anyway, what was it? What was all that happened? Brethren just gathered and, you know, cried to God and then faced the devil and said, not here. And the devil said, have bar. They also kill a few people. Now, one key person like this. Then they turn, I waka komoto. When God will have blessed you, all kinds of stories will be told about your life.
Amen.
Never forget to let them know that it was God. Are you getting my point? Yes. They will find stories to tell. It's because this happened, listen. Don't worry. They have to find a story. Because if they don't, they have to acknowledge with you that it was God. And they will not do that. So they will find another story to tell. Listen to me. People will find stories to tell about you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I said they will find stories to tell about you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That disease that they said was going to kill you, you will become another case study of why people don't die. Are you getting my point? Yeah, they'll start this study. You say, yes, he had this problem. He had this problem. We thought he would die within three years. This is 35 years later. The fellow is still alive and well. All the children are even grown, you know. Then I say, it is in remission. Yes, they now do a publication on long-term remission in this deadly disease because of the power of life that is in you. Are you getting my point? That will be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Declare this, say, health and vitality, they are my portion.
Health and vitality, yeah.
My vitality is determined by the life of Christ in me.
Say,
that life is flowing through me
and giving life to my mortal body
as it is written.
If Christ is in me,
even though the body was subject to death because of sin,
yet the Spirit is giving it life because of righteousness.
Say, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead
dwells in me.
And is giving me life in the name of Jesus Christ.
Say, this year all my sicknesses are gone.
Divine life reigns in me.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Let's just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for the power of your word. Just say it again. Say, Lord, I rebuke unbelief out of my life. I get into the fight against unbelief.
I'm into the fight against unbelief. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name we have prayed.